wasn't really into words with music. My father came from Naples, and opera was always on very loudly every weekend, usually Verdi or Puccini. I never got into it. It still seemed to me not as rich as the peculiarly indefinable language that purely instrumental music could utter. These were therefore my first tentative steps at becoming a pretentious twat. I hope I've changed. I like Verdi and Puccini now, especially live, and I can see why Lou Reed is so admired. And my classical musical tastes have grown richer listening to vocal music, such as the magnificent choral works of Thomas Tallis or the song cycles of Schumann and Benjamin Britten, and to the far more intimate soundscape of chamber pieces such as the amazing and mysterious string quartets by Béla Bartók. That's been the joy of my musical journey. It's a constantly expanding exploration, each discovery suggesting a fresh direction of travel, one new piece taking me to another, another composer, another genre, another time. Sometimes it's shocking to think I'll never finish. Other times, that's what's most thrilling about it, that this so-called dead music is so amazingly alive. Over the years, I find myself wanting to write about music. Nothing on theory or analysis, but about what it does to the listener. In the process, I've also wanted to chip away at the veneer of pretension or irksome exclusivity that mounts such a forbidding entrance to classical music for anyone who wants to explore it for the first time. Much of the writing in this book is prompted by my belief this music is so special that anything which encourages or advises others to listen to it is always worth doing, and anything that tries to put them off should be spat at. This isn't a manual, there's no structure, no step one, step two. Neither are there any specialist preparations required. My musical journey has been a mess, an erratic jump from one work to another. I'm glad it's been that way, and that's how I'd like to reflect it. But this book is also an act of defiance. When so much of the world tells me to love something more contemporary, when it's shouting at me that I'm just not cool, and I'll infect the company of anyone I'm in touching distance of with my clod-hopping, anachronistic and toxic lack of hip if I keep listening to the music of Henry Purcell, I just feel obliged to go and do it anyway. I keep meeting people like this all the time, people so battered by the collective imperative only to admit liking what the whole world is telling you to like, that they sneak out to classical lunchtime concerts with all the guilt of a Victorian clergyman desperately hunting a crack den. I've also been in polite small talk going nowhere when suddenly a reference to classical music, to maybe a piece we both discover we know and like, gets us animated like two long-lost friends. All my days I've felt pressurised by the anonymous keepers of the cool who tell us what we should be wearing this year, what digital box sets we should bunker ourselves in to enjoy, what amazing app is the only one we should be shrieking emotions at our recently acquired friends with. Thankfully, I have the one consolation that if I don't quite fit into all of this, everyone else probably feels the same way. So, I say defiantly, I get more moved and excited by classical music than by any other musical genre. This is not to say that all classical music is equally glorious. Try listening to more than 2 minutes of Stravinsky's Les Noces without wanting to ram something with a hammer. But what I rejoice in is its depth. How can anything so complex be so utterly pure and beautiful? Go to any major orchestral concert and just look at the sheer welter of talent congregating on stage. Each one of the 70 or so musicians represents 70 or so hard-won careers of training and endless practice and amazing technical skill and dozens of heartbreaking moments along the way. Each instrument is the product of centuries of design, trial and error. The orchestra is such a magnificent folly. All that effort to do what? To make noises in evening wear. It's worth it for those noises. And I love it that they're complicated. I love it that you can never take in a piece of classical music on just one listening. Sure, you can be affected by it, be moved or intrigued by that first encounter. But what I love is the mental addiction, the need to hear it again and again, before you can even begin to understand all its benefits. I love the fact that 30 or so years on from first listening to Mahler's Ninth Symphony, or Shostakovich's Tenth, or Elgar's First, I'm still hearing wonderful moments in those pieces for the first time. This is not to deride all other forms of music.